Hey guys, I'm going to introduce to you, and I'm going to read, Karen and Cheryl. Karen has been married to John, her college sweetheart, for 23 years, and they have three kids. Olivia, who's 16, Jake is 14, and they added their son Alex to their family in 2012 when he was almost 16. Now he's 22 and out on his own and doing very well. While Karen was raised going to church in New Jersey, she did not truly walk with the Lord until her early 30s, when John had a radical transformation. Part of their faith journey includes the loss of employment, all their savings, close friendships, and family relationships. But part of the redemption has been finding true community here at Perimeter, a new son who has succeeded despite the odds, and most of all, a deep faith in the Lord's provision in all aspects of their lives. She's the director of nursery and special events here and has enjoyed being on staff for over 5 years. She was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, including time as a homeschooler, and had no desire to go back into the workforce, but the Lord had another plan. She is grateful to work at Perimeter as it allows her to use her gifts for His glory, but also to keep her family a priority. And then Cheryl has been attending Perimeter for almost 25 years. She met her husband here. They now have two children. Heather is 16, a sophomore at Norcross High School, and Alex is 14, an eighth grader at Perimeter School. Cheryl grew up in the church but came to a much deeper understanding of God's grace when she came to Perimeter. Like Karen, she has gone through some deep valleys, which has helped build her faith even stronger. She re-entered the workforce after her husband lost his job and has been serving in the Human Resources Department at Perimeter for over 10 years. Y'all welcome Cheryl and Karen. I forget who's using this. I guess we both will. We didn't get hooked up. Good morning. We're doing this kind of tough topic, praying for your children. I'm going to sit down so I don't feel like I'm lording over you. We're excited to be here, and just a brief update. Both are my younger two and hers are the same age. So the girls are juniors in high school, and the boys just started high school after leaving here. So they're doing great.
I gotta get set up, people.
Don't want to keep talking? Yeah. I did want to just briefly, one thing we were going to talk about, a lot of what's on your table are prayer cards, and we'll go over it in a little bit that you can use for your children, but they've come out of this book. I want to just, full disclosure, Praying the Scriptures for Your Children by Jody Berndt, and there's some great little nuggets in here of just using Scripture specifically for different circumstances, and then just inserting your child's name or your name into it. So at the end, if you want, you can make a little prayer kind of booklets. There are rings on the table and hole punches that you can then take home and just kind of carry it with you to remind yourselves to pray for your kids. And there'll be cards for you, and we'll talk about that a little bit.
Awesome. Can y'all hear me? Okay. Didn't know I was going to get this thing. This is a couple pictures of my family now. So like was introduced, there's my husband, Peter, and my daughter, Heather, who's in 11th grade and doing great at Norcross. And then Alex, a ninth grader at Paul Duke, and they're both in the Norcross district. And this is just when they get along so well all the time. You know, we can click that type of picture anytime. But anyways, we live in Peachtree Corners, and my husband and I, we met here at Perimeter, and we've been attending for, I think, 25 years now. And our kids just went through the membership class, so we're very excited. So when they do the new members, you might see their names. Please pray for them. But we are very excited for them. And we are a very, very busy family, as I'm sure y'all are too. And it's just really great when we can all sit down at the table and have a meal together. It's a wonderful event that we celebrate. So anyways.
You have to be my MC.
Okay.
This is my family. They were all saying, please don't use this picture, it's cringy. However, a 14-year-old boy doesn't really smile as a normal smile very often, so he's kind of being a goofball there. Olivia's hair is changed yet again. That is one of the things I'll talk about later. And then Alex is on the end. And when I sent him this picture, this is my husband's birthday back in April, he said, "Oh, am I taller than Dad now?" That's all you have to say. But anyway, he just turned 23, and he's a manager actually at La Paria down at the Forum. And the irony and humor of that is not lost on us, that he's from Latvia, living in America, working at a Mexican restaurant run by Colombians. So, but he's doing real well, so.
All right, so Karen and I have known each other for quite some time. I think we started when she moved in Peachtree Corners, probably right before middle school, I think. And so these are our two boys. They were really great playmates. And then this, of course, Alex, who we just talked about.
Who's going to prom there.
Going to prom. The boys could care less about prom. They just want to play baseball and basketball and all that other stuff. And then these are our girls when they took ballet together, Heather and Olivia. And so we've been friends for quite a number of years, more years than we will count. And so we just want to talk about today, what is prayer? And I think we both feel very, very humbled in regards to being asked to speak about this. I know I haven't mastered the prayer life. I don't know how many of y'all are in discipleship, but the first unit, there was a video that Randy asked us to watch, or a little audio, actually, and he goes, and he's talking about prayer. And he goes, "I'm just going to be vulnerable. I'm going to tell you about my prayer life. I was going to have, like, I think it was 20 minutes prayer time. And, you know, I would pray a little bit about this, and then my mind will go over here. And then I say, oh, look, forgive me, Lord. Here I'm praying again. Oh, and then it goes over there." And I was like, if Randy does that, there is hope for me, because I know my mind does that. Like, even this morning, I wake up extremely early, and I just wanted to spend a lot of time in prayer. And thankfully, I was able to spend a little bit, but I felt like, okay, this extended amount of time, how much was really spent at the throne of God versus stressing about this or about this and about this? And I know we live very harried lives. Like, it is chaotic. This morning, I thought, oh, you know, I'm not going to go work out before work, so I'll have extra time. No, you know, my husband wakes up with a lot of shoulder. I even had to dress him this morning, like, he's in so much pain. And then I had to go to CVS and get all this stuff for him. And it's just like, then I come here, and then I realized all the prayer cards aren't done. So I'm running to my office to go get that. And it's just like one thing after the other that I know that y'all experience too with the little ones at home. You think, oh, we're going to have this grand time, but yet life may not end up being like that. So we just want to talk a little bit about prayer. It is an act of worship. You know, this is where we can sit before the Lord and just be at his throne and praise him. It's a time that we can glorify him, give him the glory that he needs. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but yet he's our Heavenly Father who loves us so much, and that deserves a lot of praise. And then we should submit to his plan. As we said, his plan is not necessarily our plan that we have envisioned for our life. You know, when we are grown up, when we are kids' age, they think, oh, I'm going to grow up and be all this, and then life happens. And it's not exactly maybe how we planned it out, but it is God's plan, and we have to come alongside of it. And it is an act of worship. And it's just like yesterday when we told my son he wanted a free time to play on video games or something. My husband says, no, you've got to move all of this pile of stuff, grubby stuff in our yard, and move it over here so we can get rid of it. And my son was like, when I went to go check on him, he was not happy about it. And I was like, even this, no matter what you're doing, no matter who's watching or whatnot, this is an act of worship. You can make moving this pile of wood an act of worship, just like when we're in the homes and we're taking care of our kids or we're cleaning the house. You know, I remember every time, not every time, but most of the times when I'm scrubbing the toilet, it's like even this can be an act of worship as long as my heart is geared toward the Lord. Oh, Karen just reminded me, because, you know, I need help all the time, y'all. I feel like sometimes the Lord created me so everybody else can feel better about themselves. So if you ever need to feel better, you know, just come see me.
Well,
okay.
I was just going to echo her saying that it's humbling to be up here. When they ask me, I'm thinking, I'm the one that what you should not do. So I'm not that bad. But anyway, of course, my favorite comedian, John Chris, we had to throw in a little something from him. There's basically God is saying, I know there's a lot of scripture about prayer, but he wants our hearts. There's not a specific way. I think you quickly get into legalism thinking, I've got to spend, you know, this time with the Lord in the morning. We all try. But I know how physically tiring it is at your stage of life. Paul Tripp has some great resources on prayer and just general Christian life. But I love this, what he was talking about in terms of bowing to his kingdom and his plan. We've both lived a lot of that. But prayer is recognition that on this side of eternity, there's a war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self. In prayer, you don't ask God to endorse the self-focused little dreams of your claustrophobic kingdom of one, but rather you commit your heart to the plans and purposes of God's kingdom and seek the grace to be part of what he's doing. And I love that because so often, you know, we can get caught up in praying for a certain situation or help me get through the day, and without stopping to think, it's your kingdom, Lord. You're working through me, and thank you for letting me be part of the story that you're writing all around me. And every little circumstance, and I don't do this perfectly, but just try to stop for a second and think, okay, you know, this is part of his plan and his sovereignty. Also, a great way to pray for provision. I can't tell you how many times, for our families, we've had good health, but it's been financial provision. And money, I'll be honest, was an idol for me because I grew up from a divorce, you know, family. My parents got divorced when I was 5. My mom went back to work as a nurse. So I was raised by a single mom for probably 5 or 6 years before she remarried. But I just saw the financial burden. And I grew up in a fairly affluent area in northern New Jersey. So looking back, we were fine. But at the time, of course, you feel like, oh, I'm the one, you know, shopping at Kmart or something, and I'm the one not getting all these other things. But anyway, God stripped both of us. And my husband, similarly, was raised in more of a working-class family in southern Indiana. So he strived for money. And anyway, just having that now, it's just a tool. It's not an idol anymore. And even though we've never recovered from that long stretch of unemployment, we've learned so much through it, and he's always been faithful, always at the last minute, but always faithful, and that just grows your faith even more. So whether it's financial provision, provision for friendships, provision for the right school for your child, education, all those things, he's there and wants to make a way for you, even though it might seem impossible sometimes. And then just, you know, show grace, soak in his grace. And I always try to be grateful for just the unmerited favor he's given to me, and just start off my day. A lot of times we were talking about praying, I'll wake up also early. I don't necessarily get out of the bed, but I will sit there and just try to pray, just thank you that I'm still here. You know, thank you I have my health, and thank you for this day, whatever it's going to bring. Just starting my day with gratitude so that I don't go down a path of being ungrateful and being negative. And then, yes, join him in his work. And right now it is cleaning toilets. It's changing dirty diapers. It's preparing meal after meal after meal for needy, selfish, ungrateful little children. And now I do it for needy, ungrateful teenagers. No, just kidding. But you're pouring into them. And I know the drudgery of day-to-day, you're just thinking, what am I doing? They don't even care. They just want more. I just cleaned this kitchen. Now someone just made a mess all over the place. That's just what it is. I mean, I think if you live with expectations up here and the reality is down here, right in the middle is all that disappointment, and it's so frustrating. So try to really embrace where God has you right now, because this season is quick. I mean, I've missed those days, and that's why I love being in the nursery. My jam is little kids. I love them. And I lead a student discipleship group of ninth grade girls, and I've learned to love them. That stage of life, I should say. But I really, my natural bent is little children. So that's fun for me to be in the nursery since mine are getting older, but the older ones are joyful too. And we both said, just try to keep it simple. Cheryl put these chairs up here to kind of remind us, a visual reminder that prayer really is just us talking to God. So you can imagine he's sitting in the chair, Jesus is right next to you, and just wants to be with you. And try not to make it too formal. When mine were little, I would keep my Bible out on the breakfast counter if I couldn't have time to really have a good quiet time, just so as I'm running around after them during the day, I could at least look quickly at some scripture to kind of resettle my heart and recenter my mind. I'd do that with a devotional or a prayer card, something just to kind of jog your memory as you're, you know, physically busy during the day. I know it can be tough.
So we know what it's like as a mom that our kids can be...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was looking at my paper. So you have in your head this is going to be this wonderful experience, maybe even praying with your children like the past slide. But the reality, as we know, is quite different. So the next couple slides, if you want to just cut through, are what you probably feel like. A messy house, kids that are maybe a mess, you're exhausted, you're falling asleep on the sofa at the end of the day, you're trying to have time with your husband, and it just doesn't feel like it's ever going to happen, but it will. And God can help you get through the day. Your life probably is feeling chaotic right now. And I would just, you know, try to build in as much margin as possible. But praying in the midst of the chaos of your life, I would just say embrace it. It's just a season. It's not going to last forever. As you go through different stages of parenting, the challenges are different. Right now, it's hard with the sleep and you feel like you're probably training and retraining and retraining every day. They'll get there. You will see fruit. It's going to take time, but slowly and surely you will. Maybe even keep a prayer journal of progress you think your kids are making just to remind you, yes, she did sleep through the night at least twice this week, you know, or he is starting to potty train and we're going to get there. And a few months later, you're thinking, oh, he's potty trained. They're not going to walk down the aisle with a patsy in their mouth. They, you know, it'll be okay. But I think more, so much more with little children is caught than taught. So I'm pretty laid back. I don't preach a lot to my kids, but I try to be a good example, and we talk about a lot of things, and I'll talk to them about anything. So with little ones, I think it's really fun just using nature to show them God and his glory and his beauty and his love for us. It's so easy, just any nature walk you can do. Seeds are amazing. If you get that caterpillar kit, those little things that can, because God is nebulous to them right now. They hear you talking about them, but they don't fully understand. But if you can use examples in nature of God, seeds and plants and animals, they can start to see the creation, and then they are made in his image, and they can be a creation of also. You know, use worship music with them, start teaching them songs. In the nursery, we're teaching them catechisms. We teach them the main Bible stories with a craft and try different ways to get the story in their mind. They're great little toddler Bibles that are wonderful to start teaching them the main Bible stories and characters and how they fit into that. Just simple conversations. Prayer time, of course, before they go to bed at night. And I mentioned that book. Sometimes if an ambulance goes by, you can explain what that is when they're a little bit older and pray for the people that might be affected by that situation. What's the character next?
Oh, next? Okay. All right. As you know, each child is very uniquely gifted. If you have a couple children or more, you think that once you have known one child just a little bit, even with that one child, they go through their different stages, right? Oh, wait, maybe I don't know them so well, and then they do this. And so we're constantly a student, actually, of our children because we want to parent well. And we know that each child God has created uniquely. It says that in Scripture, and we can see that in person. And then what frustrates you most may actually be one of the best gifts the Lord has bestowed on your children. And we both have a couple of examples in regards to that where we wanted to pull out our hair just in regards to how our children were acting. But then now we see on the other side, as they're older teenagers, how God has definitely used that trait, put them in. And when we have pointed them to Christ all these years, now God is using this for his glory. Before, when they were toddlers and or whatever age, they were using it selfishly, and they were using it for their own selves. But now, because they have such a great foundation, they're actually using it for God's glory, and it is beautiful and so humbling and so rewarding to see on that other side. We just always pray that God will continue to do that. We know that praying for behavior modification is not really helpful. Y'all know, I'm sure y'all have talked about Paul Tripp's book, Shepherding Your Child's Heart. If you haven't read it, it is an extremely good book. Because I don't know about you, but I came from very much of a performance-based family. You had to do things well, and you had to make sure that other people knew that you did things well. And I actually kind of, I was very, very moral, but I rebelled in that area. And when they wanted me to play piano in front of other people to see how great I am, I just pitched a fit, and they finally said, we're not going to ask you, because I was too embarrassing for them at that moment. But we want to make sure that we definitely go toward their heart, and not just for that, if you just be quiet, kid, you know, instead, what's going on? You know, tell me about that. So we've done that over and over with our children, and we're seeing the benefits of that. In regards to my story, this is my daughter when she was about 3 years old, and I know some of y'all may know, but her three-year-old stage was extremely hard for me. I mean, she looked so sweet to everybody, and she was sweet to everybody except to me during those moments, and it was mind-boggling. I could not understand. She was so stubborn, and so extremely stubborn, and there are times that I thought, she is so loud and pitching such a tantrum that DFAX is going to be called on me, because this is a battle of wills right here, and I knew I needed to win this battle, because if I continue to let her lead in this self-destructive life and just say, okay, fine, have your way, that's just self-destruction, and I'm not loving her well. But instead, I just continue to press on, pray through those moments. Just God, help her, help me, help her. And it was quite a time. And now, you know, with her stubbornness and her determination, I just saw her as that three-year-old, and God just gave me a vision. If you let her down this destructive life, you know, her teenage years are going to be awful. And so now I am giving you a glimpse, and for these next 10 years, I want you to truly invest in her. I want you to constantly be pointing her to the cross. I want you to constantly be making sure that she sees me, Jesus, as her only Savior. I'm her only hope. And I had to say, okay, God, I know you've called me to be the parent, but you are her good father that I always want to point her to. And so now I see her determination. She's 17 in 11th grade, and she just, you know, in 8th grade, one of the professors here, or teachers here, said something about just put a passion in her. She wants to be a writer. And so from what that professor says, she goes, okay, I'm going to write an hour every single day and just continue to write, because I want to be a good writer. And if I have so many hours invested in this, then I'll be a master by such and such, like 30 or 40 years old. I'm like, wow. You know, this is, at the time, an eighth grader saying this. So she's just been determined. She's been doing that ever since. Now that she's in 11th grade, I don't think she's writing an hour, because 11th grade is very hard. But she is still pursuing that. She has the goal of making good grades, and she does. She makes great grades. I never even have to go and look at her grades anytime, because I'm not worried, because she is so determined to do that. She still does ballet, even though, you know, she knows that she is not the most gifted in that area. She didn't do ballet all throughout her years, but she is determined to still do what she loves, even though almost all of her school friends and permanent friends, they don't do the ballet, but yet that's what she loves, and it doesn't matter what they think about ballet, she's still going to do it, even if she's not the best, even if she's, like, way older than everybody else in her class, she wants to do that, and not only is she still taking ballet, but now she's teaching ballet because of her passion and love. She teaches here. She might be teaching some of y'all's kids. She also teaches at Beaver Ridge. You know, so she goes straight from school on Thursdays. You know, she has to leave the house by 6 a.m., and then she doesn't get home till like 9:30. I mean, they're very long days, but this is what she wants to invest in. I'm also really proud because she's at a school now that's very diverse, and, you know, maybe a lot of kids don't care, but she's persevered through it, even with her best friend who was going there her ninth grade year dropped out, and their relationship just kind of went south. I mean, they're still kind of friends, but not great friends anymore. But she said that ninth grade was really a hard year because she felt alone. Like, there was really nobody at her school that she can talk to, but she persevered because she knew that she had no other choice. This was her school that God had planned for her, and she made the best of it. She really, really has, and it's been great for her. But she's been able to see how God works even in a plan that she may not have designed for herself, even at this young age. She's a friend to the friendlessness. She will really seek out other people. She's determined that another person won't feel lonely. And I love that in her. And she's a loyal friend. She really is. She will try, even with that other friend, she will continue to try and just be kind and do things for her. So I've seen the stubbornness and the determination that I kept fighting at age 3. And now I see the benefit of it and how God has used it for his glory.
So my daughter was also difficult at 3. 3, 5, and 12 were the hardest years. Just hang in there, I'll tell you now. But, and she's one that just thinks differently and would become obsessed with one thing. And literally for months, had to learn everything about it, and then she moves on to something else. And she's done this almost her entire life. When she was 2, it was garage doors and had to know if it was a chain on the side or a chain in the middle and what did the motor look like. And we'd have to go look at everybody's garage doors. Then it became bridges, and she knew some bridges that they're different colors. I mean, just all these things, these details nobody else would notice. And she had to learn about that. And then it was numbers. Then it was, then it became, at one point, storms. And she loved to read the Berenstain Bears. And she loved to learn about weather. And the crazier the storms, the better. She loved learning all the names of the clouds. And we learned geography and all these things at that time. And I would just kind of let her do it. I encouraged her as much as I could, but she was always out on the outside socially, even as a little one, because everyone would be running around and kind of screaming or giggling. And she would just kind of stand off to the side thinking, what are you doing? That's dumb, you know. Kind of in a way of not really criticizing them, but just not understanding why are they acting like this. So she's always been a little bit more mature and just kind of struggled to fit in with her peers. However, so this is her 5th birthday cake. She wanted a sister bear to get hit in the eye by lightning. That was her cake. So I had this sweet lady make this cake, and I tried to explain it to her. And so we go to the lady's house to pick it up, and immediately Olivia says, but Sister Bear's not getting hit in the eye with the lightning bolt. And I'm thinking, just be quiet. Let's be thankful. You have this sweet little cake. So we stop at Publix. I didn't have to do this, but I did. Stop at Publix on our way home, bought yellow icing to finish the hit. And that's what you see there. And it's just... it was, you know, it did take extra time, but I thought, I don't really know what's going on here with her, but I'm going to just kind of roll with it. So I feel like I'm just kind of rolling, and I'm along for the ride with this child. Well, then the next year, should we move on from storms? Now we become obsessed with traffic lights. You probably didn't know that there are different frames around traffic lights. Some are orange, some are black, and some are, in other states, they're white. Sometimes they're green. So we would... literally drive. I mean, she would just be looking at all of these traffic lights and decided that year for her 6th birthday she wanted a traffic light party, which actually was kind of fun because we got to play red light, green light, and twister and all those things. But we made these traffic light t-shirts, and that cake is actually based on a traffic light up in Suwannee. and Buford Highway and Lawrenceville Suwannee Road by the downtown area. But again, it took a lot of effort and time, but I thought, okay, I'm just going to roll with this, Olivia. Let's do traffic lights. And now she looks back. I was so cringy. I was so weird. I said, no, you weren't. You're just a little bit different. You're laser focused. And I used to worry a little bit. Maybe she's OCD. Maybe she is a little bit. I don't know. But at the same time, she would just take it upon herself with very little prompting to learn as much as she could about these different topics. We went on from here. She wanted to count. Then she wanted to count to 1,000,000. Do you know how long it takes to count to 1,000,000? It takes 6 weeks. 6 weeks. So I made her a spreadsheet of, I think it was a 45-page long spreadsheet that she would carry around and keep counting and counting and counting. Every day she'd work on it and eventually got to 1 million. My dad came down to visit one time, and he's old school, so he carries cash. And he had like over $2,000 in his wallet. She's 5 years old, and she counted it exactly. And he wasn't impressed by that. He said she did it wrong. She should have done the hundreds first, then the 20s. And then she's five, Dad. She just counted over $2,000. But okay, thank you. So, and it's gone on from there. She has this other funny one when she was in sixth grade. She's not here, so she can't get mad at me for telling the story. But she decided she wanted to learn about mermaids. And I think there was a TV show, so she would look at that. But we had to go get fabric. We didn't have to. I chose to go with her to get fabric that was waterproof. So we're at Joann's. We're at Hobby Lobby buying waterproof fabric. Then she laid it out in the sunroom, had to paint it, cut it in a certain shape, pinned it, and tried to sew some of it to make a mermaid skirt. And then, I mean, this is weeks, weeks, weeks. Then she sat in the bathtub to see if it really was waterproof or not. And it really wasn't. I mean, she still got wet, but it was, you know, somewhat water resistant. But all that to say, eventually, I think because she had the freedom to explore, and I didn't make fun of her, and her friends didn't get this, of course. She did all this by herself. And she tends to be probably more of a loner. I mean, she's changing now, but she was completely fine to play by herself with her horses and her imagination and just let all that roll. And she reads and loves to read and would read a ton. But I'm seeing this fruit now because I'm always thinking, where is she going with all this? Well, she decided she wanted to be a veterinarian, like a lot of girls when they're 9 or 10. And then that kind of died down because there's a lot of ick factor to it. But then 2 years ago, she really started focusing on it again and said, no, I really want to do this. And my husband, I thought, I don't know. I know you love animals, but there's some really hard, sad things with being a veterinarian. So, but she kept insisting. So we thought, well, let's send her to vet camp. So she, you know, gets online immediately. Can I have the credit card? It's a $200 deposit. Can I go? And they, wait, what? Where are you going? Oh, Clemson has a vet camp. I want to go next summer. So we thought, well, that's cheaper than paying for 4 years of vet school. Okay, you can go. So she went, and again, this laser focus is now the fruit of this. She had to castrate a piglet. She had to do ultrasounds on cows, dissect a dog and a cat that had been put down at the local animal shelter. Sheep hooves. And I'm thinking, what? I mean, in the July heat up in Clemson, loved every second of it. Came home just raving about it. And I'm thinking, okay, you can do this. And she will, on her own, read all these books about animals and, you know, chemistry, and she tries to talk to us about chemistry, and it's over my head. Why don't you remember? Because I graduated high school 30 years ago, Olivia. Never liked it the first time. But just to say that I see now all these things that were a little odd, now she's so focused, and she has such a plan, and nothing is going to deter her. She's not that interested in dating because she knows it'll be a distraction. She's also shy, but she's just determined that she's going to be a veterinarian. She knows what classes, she knows where she wants to go to college. We've already visited 3 times. Now we've talked to the professors in the animal science, and she wants to go to Berry because they've got such a high acceptance rate into vet school. She's already planning out her freshman year of college. And so part of her struggle is, I have to say, look at today. Let's get through junior year of high school. Enjoy today. You know, I hope that's God's plan for you. You know, I think it is, but again, we just have to keep praying that that's true. But just that character building, that she is focused and determined, even though it was kind of a little difficult and odd when she was growing up. And she also is a good friend. She's the calm one. She's the one everybody comes to with their problems, and she just sits and listens to the drama and doesn't really get involved in it. So she's kind of coming in, you know, she's definitely blossoming. She went to South Africa this summer with Watershed. She had to kill a chicken, cut the head off right in front of everybody. I mean, she did, again, stuff I'm thinking, what? And she goes, oh, yeah, I did. And then we had to pluck the feathers and put it in this pot of boiling water to help this family eat. And I'm thinking, I thought you were going to play with children over there in this water cans. And I verified with Jeff Summers. I said, did she really do that? Because I'm getting these texts thinking, does someone take your phone? And she goes, no, Mom, I swear it's real. And he said, no, she did. So I don't know what God's going to do with her life. It's very interesting. Like I said, we're along for the ride, but I just wanted to encourage you that I know these years can be hard, and you can't see the future. I never would have predicted this, but just keep trusting that God does have a plan, and pray that he will show you little things that you can do to encourage their kind of quirky gifts or their personality, because he is gifting them, and little by little it will be revealed, and it will be for his glory if you keep pointing them back to Jesus, that he can certainly use anything and use him in their kingdom in pretty exciting ways. So we wanted you to just sit, take some time at your tables to talk a little bit. You don't have to answer all these questions, but I'm sure there are lots of different situations here where you could have a conversation. What are some of the qualities you want to see in your children? We all hope, you know, in the Galatians of the attributes of a follower of Christ, we don't all have all of them. We're all not good at everything. But just some of maybe the key things you like to see in your children, maybe love, serving others, being a loving friend, and how can you try to develop them? I'm sure there's wisdom here. You can talk about that. Or if you have a toddler, maybe you do see some frustrating traits and you need some encouragement of how could God possibly use that someday? What's the flip side of that, that you might be able to talk among yourselves and kind of get some encouragement? And then we'll go back to the last part.
All right, are there any good tidbits that y'all shared that you want to share out loud? I know this table right here was talking about changing diapers and how somebody's having trouble keeping the child on the changing table. And I wasn't going to point any names. I wasn't going to say any names. God's preparing you for a path. Be strong. Yes, I would clean up the poop first and then discipline. Make the environment safe and then deal with the emotions and everything else like that. I would say when Heather was one, she barely could say anything, and I was trying. She hated being in the car seat, and literally, I would bribe her with jelly beans. That's called behavior modification. Not doing the heart. But at the time, I didn't know anything about, you know, shepherding the heart. And sometimes the jelly beans would not work. And I tell you what, the battle of wills. Literally one time when, a couple times, but this one time when I had to put her in the car seat, she goes like this. I don't know if you've had a child do that yet. And I can lift some weights, but I am going like with almost all my might, trying to break those hips to go into the car seat. Literally, I could not do it. It was like she had steel rods in her back. And I'm like, my goodness, what in the world, Lord? What is this child? She's like Superwoman right here, and I can't even put her in the car seat. So what am I to do? Drive around with her running around? No. So I just gave her a few moments. And I think this might have been another time where I get out of the car and we're in a safe environment. You know, it's very shaded and it was all fine. But I get out of the car realizing that my keys are still in the car, not just thinking. She locks the car, no joke, at age one. And I'm like, she knows exactly what she's doing, because when she's looking out the window, she's just like looking at me. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So, you know, as a mom, I don't panic. Like, I just put on my very calm face, because as soon as she sees that I'm panicking, it makes it all the worse. Like, she's like, So I was just like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to continue to watch her because that's what she wants. But I'm going to say that it's not a big deal. And I mean, 15, 20 minutes, I'm just sitting there and I'm praying. And finally, I hear this click, unlocks the door. I immediately wanted to rush in and get that door. I'm like, no, I will walk calmly. You know, I've got this. And so I opened the door and I said, are you ready to get in the car seat? Mm-hmm. Really, she can hardly say any words except for mom and dad, and just a few words. And so I've started backing out once I put her in the car seat, and all I hear is this little sweet voice that was just so stubborn just a few seconds ago. She goes, Sabby. And I'm like, I'm hearing things. This did not come from my child because she didn't know what the word sorry means. Like, I'm thinking. And then I just said, did you say something? What did you say? And then she goes, sorry. And I'm like, oh, child, it's so fine, you know. But it was again, a test of the stubbornness and just keep persevering and just praying through it because you're going to see results come from it. This next thing is trusting God. And so I think one of the most freeing things to know as a parent is that we are not owners of our children, but we're just stewards. God has gifted them to us so that we can point them to the cross. And when we're trying to always control them, it just makes things so much worse. And we get so frustrated because we know that we can't control. We do manage much of the small child's life, but really we're not in control. God's in control, and he does have a plan for that child. And it's very freeing also to know that we can't change hearts. We can't even change our children's hearts, but what we can do is guide them to the cross and then guide ourselves to the cross by using scriptures and all. So trusting God even in those hard moments is very, very, we feel like we might be caging ourselves in because we want to do everything that we possibly can within our control to do everything. And God has called us to be obedient to him, but to know ultimately he is the great father, the good, good father, as that song talks about. And even when we don't have control of even the situation that we're in, we feel like we're losing the battle, he is in control, and we've got to trust him in regards to that. One of the lessons that I'll share pretty quickly, this is my son when he was 4 years old. And this is when I had to go back to work, was really when he was 3 years old. But I was able to take my children with me to work, actually here. It was the best place ever because it was like the old bookstore where they had a cage. So I can cage my kids in with me. And they had like this beautiful scenery. And I had a desk. And they would just roam about. And it was awesome. But one person, they did feel, like most people felt sorry for me because what they saw, this is another lesson that God gave me. When I made that cage, I knew that I was providing a safe environment for my kids to play and for me to work. It was a very hard year, but yeah. So when I did that, but people saw that when they were coming by, they were like, oh my gosh, they put you in a cage. And one person even thought he was being funny. He was throwing peanuts at me like I'm this animal. I'm like, he goes, man, I can't believe they put you in a cage. That's such bondage. And I'm thinking, no, this is freedom. This is freedom for me because I can allow my kids to be in the safe environment. You may see bondage like the world sees when they see God's law. They say, oh, this is bondage. How can you go by that? But then what we see is freedom because when we're being obedient to God, we're able to live that free and fruitful and full life that God has called us. But when we're living according to the world and we see God's law as bondage, then we're not going to be able to. We are actually putting ourselves in a very worse position. That was a side note. Anyways, this is my kid, 4 years old, had to go back to work. And it was extremely hard for me because that's when they bought the annex and they had moved a lot of the staff to go to the annex so we could have discipleship groups in those small rooms. And they said that kids are not allowed in the annex, and it broke my heart. So at the time, you know, I just found out, like, we had no money. I couldn't afford childcare. I wouldn't be working otherwise. So I found out that there was a free Georgia pre-K program. So I'm, like, calling all these places. They're all booked. I mean, like, 20 people on the waiting list and all. And I'm getting very, very frustrated with this one place I called, Up and Coming, says, oh, no, we've got plenty of spots. You know, come on over. And I'm thinking, oh, dear, what's wrong with y'all? Everybody else is booked, but this is our only choice. And it was just like a minute from my husband's work, which was awesome. So I had my husband check it out. And when he checked it out, I called him and I said, so how was it? And it was just silent for a second. And he goes, just know that it's free. And my heart, it sunk. because I knew at that time that environment was not going to be great for my child. But I had to trust God because this was our only option. And so I was like, Lord, I'm fighting you. I am fighting you on this because I know what's best for my child and I am not trusting you. And God says, no, you trust me. What you have is a control idol and I'm going to get rid of it. And so what he gave me this vision that I was this beggar just scrambling on. God just took this idol off the mantle that I was worshiping, the control idol, and he smashed it right in front of me. Broke my heart because I put so much trust on what I could do for my child and not what God could do for my child. And so I am scrambling as a beggar to put these pieces together and put it back on. And God is like, don't you know? You're scrambling for all of this, but I have a banquet table for you. Just come and sit and dine with me. Be still and know that I am God, and I will show you great and mighty things. And so after, you know, scrambling and putting it up, and then he'd smash it again, just kind of back and forth, I said, okay, Lord, I've got to trust you. I have no other choice. I will trust you in this. And I will trust that you will protect my child, that my child will be loved here, and that you will sustain me during this excruciating time for me. And I will tell you, you know, when I visited, it was not a great experience that first time. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm still trusting in you. That year was one of the best years of my child's life. Those child care workers loved on my child in such a way that I actually couldn't do that during the school day when I needed to be working. They made all these cute hats and crafts, and they would just tell me stories when I went to go pick them up, and I could just feel the love. The environment, maybe, you know, it could have been improved, but the love was there, and that was what was most important. And God says, see, trust me. You don't need to always be, I'm in control. You've got to trust that, and you will see great and mighty things that I will do. So that's my little story.
Awesome. That's great. I almost started crying. Mine is somewhat similar. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I know we're short on time, but long story short, my husband lost his job. We're just standing up for the right thing, and it became this big thing. But anyway, we lasted 15 months, and then we moved back to Atlanta. Everything was kind of stabilizing. We had been in Knoxville, and weren't recovering financially, but we were okay. And I was home, and I was homeschooling, and then felt like we were called to host and then subsequently adopt our son, Alex, from Latvia. So mine were only 5 and 7 when we first hosted him, which this Christmas will be 9 years ago. And if any of you have done any adoption, but especially international, it's very expensive. So anything we had now went towards that. And then we made it. So this is when we made it through the first year, and it was difficult. He was almost 16, and I had little kids. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing with a 16-year-old boy. But thankfully, he has a good heart. And but I had to homeschool him, which one of us was not going to survive. So I wound up having a lady nearby that homeschooled middle and high schoolers. So he went there for a little bit, and then he was getting the best grades after being here 6 months, which wasn't making a whole lot of sense. So then the next year, we moved him to Legacy Community Academy, and so all three of them went there. And that worked okay, but I was working full-time now here also at the church in Global Outreach, and we knew that it was not a good fit for the younger two. Plus, we weren't really in the homeschool community anymore because I was here, and my husband would work at home and go to the office on the days they were at school. It was just this juggle. So the next year, I got the nursery job, which allowed me to have both kids at the school. So they started here in 4th and 6th grade. And then Alex continued at Legacy, but by then he could drive himself. And so the next slide is them. The next year, you know, see, they're still happy and they're fine. I literally cried every day for a week when I had to go back to work because I thought, just give John a raise. Please, please. I don't want to leave my kids. Because my mom had to work when I was little, and I just swore I would never do that to my kids. But God did work it out in ways, of course, I couldn't have imagined. Because as they were getting older, I knew I'm not a teacher. I'm not a craft person. Tara can tell you that. It was getting harder and harder for me to keep trying to homeschool them and giving them all that they needed. And not that I'm against public schools. It was just if I could put him in a Christian school, that would have been our first choice. So it worked out beyond what I ever could have imagined to have them come here. So they were in fourth and sixth grade. So the next slide shows Jake. He cried, fourth grade here, you have to go full day all week. And he's been used to being pretty much done by 11 or 12. And we would learn throughout the day, but, you know, work. So now suddenly he's going to school Monday through Friday all day long. And he cried, you know, the first 2 weeks, oh, it's too much, it's too much. And I said, everybody else is adjusting. They used to be off half day on Monday and Friday, Jake. And he said, oh, really? I said, yeah. So everybody in your whole grade is adjusting to this new schedule. And then pretty soon he comes home. He goes, I love Perimeter. I feel like I feel like I've been there forever. And I thought, awesome. So there he is in fourth grade. He'd done the solved the Rubik's Cube, but you can see the nursery wall behind him. So it was awesome because they could just come right from their class down to my office, have a snack, hang out for a little bit, and then we could go home together. And I would see them in the halls here, and it was just a, like I said, beyond blessing of how God provided for them through that season. So the other part that we think is important with prayer is praying for yourself. And be careful if you're praying for patience, because it will probably do more. I don't know. Maybe it won't do much good for your spiritual growth because it's so darn frustrating. But anyway, it's so easy to criticize or get frustrated with our kids and see all their faults. But what does the Lord tell us? Take the log out of our own eye before we take the speck out of our neighbor's. And I think that so aptly applies to young children because they are little sinful little people. And that does take a lot of training. And they are going to test you and push the limits. But just keep, you know, asking the Lord for grace and for him to show you the way. And he will. Last time we did this mom's talk, there were some ladies at a table and they all work and have young children. They have really intense, high-powered jobs. But I was so encouraged by them. They have a little text group, just the three of them. They live near each other, and they're so supportive of each other, texting throughout the week of encouragement, scripture, prayer requests. They help with meals, with childcare. And it was such a great picture of community. So I just wanted to encourage you, when you're praying for yourself, also try to find some friends that hopefully live near you, that you can kind of do life together and get a text group going, whatever works for you, but that's an easy thing to do. In those hard moments where you really want to just walk away or just lock yourself in the bathroom and forget that you've got these little ones to take care of, that they can encourage you and maybe even come over if you're, you know, I remember doing that for a friend that was just 5 o'clock was the witching hour, and I would just go to her house and watch her kids so she could just, you know, take a 20-minute break before having to make dinner and all of that. But we were, I know in this area, especially just with Pinterest and Instagram and all the social media, the pressure on all of us can become great. And I think a lot of people make motherhood and your family life an idol, and you feel pressure to look great all the time, have well-behaved kids, a great husband, great marriage, great house, decor, the list goes on and on. And it's it really steals your joy. God didn't call us to that. So I think you have to live counterculturally as a Christian, but that's what he's calling us to do. You're swimming upstream. You really are. So I think it's harder for you than it was, you know, even for us. It wasn't that prevalent when ours were little. So I just wanted to encourage you at your table talk now. We've got these cards, so you can make a little booklet. But the ones in this closest to the center are scriptures you can pray over yourself. So if you're struggling with anxiety or getting into the comparison trap or fear, depression, feeling overwhelmed, etc. There's some scriptures you can use to pray over yourself. And then the cards, there's a blank spot there. You can write in your child's names. There's pens on the tables as well to add your kids to those prayers. There are plenty of extras, so if you have more than one child and you want to do two booklets, you can. And then we put hole punchers in the metal rings, you can make yourself a little booklet of prayers to carry around, and I hope that's a good, just a good tool you can use throughout your busy days to help.
Did you want to play music, Robert?
Yeah, so we're going to just take just a few minutes before we leave just to pray for yourself, pray for your children, and we're going to just do this quietly. We'll try to get some music going, but just really spend some time and just talking with God and just knowing where, just hearing from him. And if y'all want to put the things together, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
Okay. And at the end, Cheryl was going to share real quick with the church as we go into a season of prayer, some of the opportunities that will be available to you. Oops.
All right, I hope you are able to take just a few moments of just quiet your soul before the Lord and just pray for your kids and get your prayer cards. Feel free to add these prayer cards. These prayers actually came from what Karen was saying. This is a book that's ministered to her a lot, was Praying the Scriptures for Your Children. So you're welcome to, you know, get that book. I would assume it's at the bookstore, if not Amazon. But also, we have some other resources here, just a few that I'm going to point out. I know probably a lot of y'all know about Jesus Calling. It's a great little just devotion just to start your morning. We also have, this is one of my favorites, Intimate Moments with the Savior. I don't even know if we can get it anymore, but you're welcome to look at it. Borrow it for just a wee little bit because I still use it a lot. Read them over and over. I am a strong believer. I can read, you know, even books like this and just whatever lesson that they're showing or telling about, just to pray through that for my kids. I definitely believe praying through the scriptures, but also, you know, Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 is an awesome, awesome book that's just really opened my eyes because Jesus calls us sheep, and this helps you understand what sheep are like. They also have a child's version of that when your children are a little bit older, but you can read through that. This is something that should still be in the bookstores from Perimeter School, Probing the Hearts of Your Children. Just talks about certain things that your children might be dealing with, and it brings scripture in regards to this and how to shepherd their heart, what type of questions to ask. And then Paul Tripp, I would say anything by Paul Tripp is awesome. He is definitely really, really great writer, but this definitely changed the way that I parent. And then also he has a new book out that I'm sure y'all have heard Randy talk about, is New Morning Mercies. I just bought this yesterday. Karen has been reading a lot. Every time I hear somebody reading it, they think it's so awesome. Like, oh my goodness, it's so awesome. Anyways, I just bought it for me, but then I really just felt like if there's somebody in, like, we both have a financial story where we just really struggled. Somebody struggled and they really want this book, but they would never go to the bookstore and buy it. This is yours. I'm not going to even look to see who picked it up, but, you know, I just want to offer that if somebody wants this because I've heard that it's so great. So anyways, those are some of the resources. Also, Perimeter is about to start really a prayer focus in regards to when Jeff is going to be here. His installation is this upcoming Sunday. And we're really about to start, like, the staff has already been praying an hour every day for, I don't know, a few weeks. So it's been awesome as we've been focusing on prayer, but we know that prayer is what's going to change things. We often feel like we got to do, and that's what's going to change things. But God is saying, no, pray because I'm at work. Join in with me. And so they're launching a movement with 40 days of continuous prayer. And we'll find out more information. This is like hot off the press, like not even the congregation knows about all this. So there's also going to be a daily devotion that's being put out that y'all can use. Tuesday nights for, I don't know if y'all come for family nights, but they're going to be focusing on prayer where you can even bring your children there to pray. And if you need childcare for the 5 and under, Karen and her lovely team are going to be providing yes. that. And then also in your D group, they're going to be focusing on prayer. And there's a verse just called about getting rooted in the Word of God and with prayer and aligned with Him. But anyways, do you have anything else to share, Karen?
No, I just want to say thanks for having us and hope it was an encouraging time for you and it was fun being here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having us. God's humble servants because, you know, we have not mastered the prayer life. We're doing this along with y'all. Y'all are at different stages, but yet I feel like as a mom, it's always going to be something going on, and we've just got to submit our will and just our hearts have got to be in tune with the Lord. So thank you for having us. Gail, do you have anything? Do you want my mic?
Y'all, this is bad. I'm going to get a card so I can remember what next week's topic is, because I've already forgotten. Hold on. Thank y'all so much. When Karen and Cheryl shared last year at the Moms Connect in the evening, I was like, oh my gosh, they have to come share to the young moms with little ones, because prayer is such a foundation for our lives and for our kids' lives, and your kids even need to see you praying. So thank you. And sometimes it is hard to pray, and parenting is tiring and frustrating sometimes, and I had, my youngest was stubborn. If I said go this way, he went that way. If I said do this, he did. Everything was the opposite, and whew, we butted heads. But God was gracious, and he has persevered through a lot of things, which that characteristic was, it was hard, but like Cheryl said, you see God using it in the long run to help them deal with things that they have to deal with. So when you feel frustrated, try to pray quickly and ask the Lord to show you something unique and special in the midst of that frustration. Say, God, I am trusting you with this characteristic, that you are going to use it for my child's good and your glory one day. Help me know how to parent it. Because our kids can't win the battle, because you are still their parent, but asking him, how do I parent them? Because he's the great parent. Anyway, next week is Christy Ambule is going to come and talk to y'all about the Myers-Briggs test for children and things that she's learned through doing that with families and her own kids. So I hope y'all will be here. That should be fun. And good information for y'all as your kids get older. I'm so glad y'all came. I see some new faces, and I see our familiar faces. So please come back next week. We love having this time for y'all. And don't forget to register for childcare. I think that is it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gifting and the wisdom you've given Cheryl and Karen as they have raised their kids. Thank you for their willingness to come share what you've taught them over the years. God, I pray for each young mom in here, Lord. Would you give her strength and perseverance? Would you give her rest even today? Would you, Lord, just richly bless each woman in here as they seek to serve you by serving and loving and raising the children that you've entrusted to them. Lord, I pray for every marriage represented in this room that you would strengthen it. And God, we look forward to seeing what you have in store for all the children represented in this room as they grow into the person you've created them to be. We love you, Father, and give the rest of this day to you. In Christ's name, amen.